Good morning.
From Hebrews chapter 1, God has spoken to us by his Son. A word from God about his Son. And what are we doing with what God has said about his Son? See, in my pocket here, I have this mobile phone, and there's a lot of words that come on this phone all week. I mean, this was the transfer deadline day this week, and I support Newcastle United. And I was going onto the internet frequently all week and typing in Rafa Benitez and getting the latest news on which players they had signed, which players they had sold. And I'd wasted so much time this week doing that. And at the end of the week, do you know how many players they'd bought? None. No players. And I spent so much time paying attention to what the Newcastle Evening Chronicle had to say about the latest movements in the transfer market. This is what I was doing this week. But then also, there's this thing called Twitter, which I've signed on to this week. I've got no followers. And I'm not following anyone, so I'm not sure what I'm doing on Twitter. And Facebook. And a lot of Facebook seems to be about building relationships, having lots of friends. But how well do we know these friends? How well do we know these people? I mean, this week we've been remembering the death of Princess Diana and how the nation was distraught and mourning, and the royal family were saying, but they don't even know her. And so much of our life is being connected to people we don't really know. And then we have the likes. Do they like me? Do they like what I look like? Do they like what I have to say? If you're trying to find your identity, who you are through the mobile phone, you're going to be really disappointed. You need to find your identity through the mobile throne, not the mobile phone. To have the lordship of Christ in your life, wherever you go, he goes with you, his mobile throne. You see, we want people to like us, and we want people to see us as attractive, and we do all kinds of things. We work harder. We work on our appearance, we build our qualifications so that people will like us. There was a man called Martin Luther. He lived 500 years ago, and he was a very clever man, and he was walking home one night, and there was a lightning storm, and in that storm, he was so frightened, he said, "I'll become a priest. I'll become a priest." So he became a priest, and he was very conscientious. He studied God's word. He studied all about the church. And he was very sensitive to the wrong things he knew he'd done. This was in the days where they had a time of confession, where they would go into a room and there would be another priest there. And he was so conscientious about confessing his sins that he used to tire out all the other priests. They all, "No, it's Martin Luther. We're going to be in there for hours." And then one day, he heard a word from God about Jesus. And this is how he summed it up. He said that Jesus Christ has made me right. Jesus Christ, in dying on the cross, has done it all for me. I don't need to make myself attractive so that I will be loved. I am attractive because God loves me. I don't need to make myself attractive in order to be loved. I know that God loves me, and that makes me attractive. Because he received a word from God about Jesus. And the book of Hebrews is all about Jesus. I don't know who wrote it. I don't know who it was written to. But in life, there's some things that we don't know that don't matter that much. But there are other things that, if we don't know them, have huge implications for our future and for our present well-being. And what we need to know is crystal clear from this book. And what is crystal clear is that Jesus is so special. Jesus is so unique. He is so wonderful. As Tina Turner said, he's simply the best. He's better than all the rest. He's so much better. So what is so great about Jesus? Well, this morning, perhaps you're here and you say, well, I agree with that. I agree that Jesus is really special. But which Jesus are you talking about? Because there are many understandings of Jesus in the world today. Jesus, the political revolutionary. Jesus, the caring counselor. Jesus, the wonderful teacher. But this is why this series on Hebrews is so important, because we're going to rediscover how great Jesus is. And it's going to take weeks to do it, because there's so much to say about Jesus. But in these four sentences, we have a prologue, we have an introduction. People have said Jesus is a good person. And that's true, he's a good man. Do you think that Jesus is a good man? Is he more than a good man? Is he trustworthy? Is he a liar? I can see that maybe you're reacting to that. No, I don't think he was a liar. Well, do you know what was said about him? Do you know what he said about himself? You see, to know the real Jesus, we need to go to the Bible. And that's what we're going to do. And perhaps you're here this morning and you're a believer and you say, well, I know this. In fact, I know everything that Hebrews has to say about Jesus. So try and surprise me, Alistair, because I've heard it all before. But I have a question for you. What are you doing with everything that you know about Jesus? And the most important question of all, do you love him? Do you love him so much better than all the rest? Do you love this Jesus so much that when you spend time with him, that everything else just falls away in significance? As the song says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look into his full, into his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. When you hear the word Jesus, what does it do to you? For many people today, Jesus is a swear word. Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, Alistair, I didn't mean to say that. And maybe that's happening for you in the workplace. But when you hear the name Jesus, Do you want to turn up the volume and say, I want to know more about Jesus? Or do you want to turn down the volume and say, I don't really want to know more because it's too challenging? I'm quite comfortable with where it is at the moment. Jesus asked the question, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? But this morning, I want to focus on what God says. Not what I say, not what you say, what God says. Who does God say Jesus is? He says, this is my son. He has become the heir of all things, all authority, all of God's authority given to Jesus. He has a name which is above all other names. Are you afraid this morning? Jesus is greater than your fears. Jesus can deal with these fears because he's greater than anything in the whole universe, even evil spirits. He can bring them under control. He brings the wind and the waves under control. He has authority over sickness. He has authority over death itself. He is authoritative because God has given him that authority. What does God say about Jesus? He says that at the beginning of the world, all things were made through Jesus. A friend of mine was taking a primary school class, and he said, what was the first thing that God created? What was the first thing that God created? And a little girl put her hand up. She said, communication. It's clever, wasn't it? Communication was the first thing that God created. And my friend was in a dilemma. He wanted to affirm that superb answer because let there be light. Did Jesus speak these words or was it the Father? Exciting to think it was Jesus. That Jesus, the one who walked this earth, was the one who said, let there be light. But the first thing that God created was not communication, because the Father, the Son, and the Spirit have been in communication always, before, now, and forevermore. But it was a great attempt, wasn't it? Jesus is there, creating the world with the Father and the Spirit. Jesus today is sustaining all things by his powerful word. Do you ever feel you need to be carried? I felt like that this week at one point. I prayed, carry me, Lord, carry me. And I read that God sustains. He carries all things by his powerful word. Not even a sparrow would fall to the ground and he wouldn't know about it. What does God say about Jesus? He says that the Son is the radiance of God's glory. He's the exact representation of his being. I'm not going to get too complicated this morning, but within a light bulb, and you've got the light emanating out and you've got the filament, can you really distinguish between the two? It's all part of the same, isn't it? And the reflection and the radiance all come together. You see, this is a statement about the fact that Jesus is more than a man. He is divine, fully human and fully God. And we'll say more about that in weeks to come. In these short verses, so much is said. It says that Jesus is a prophet, he's a priest, he's a king. That means he speaks to us. We know the Sermon on the Mount. We know how. What is Jesus saying to you today? That's a good present tense question, isn't it? What is Jesus saying to you today? Of all the things that he has said, what is he saying to you today? And I want to say that perhaps there's people here that are going through suffering. There's people here going through really tough times, dark valleys. Even though I walk through the shadow of death, the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Jesus, who said, he is seated on the throne and says, look, I'm making all things new. Jesus has a word for us today, if we have ears to listen to what he has to say. Jesus forgives. We're going to look at this through this series. It talks about Jesus, the one who makes us clean. The presentation of a sacrifice of his own body on the cross forgives us completely. He's a prophet, he's a priest, he's a king, he has authority. Do you believe that Jesus has authority? Do you have the faith of the centurion who said, Jesus, you don't even need to come to the house. I am a centurion. I have soldiers. I just say the word and they do it. Jesus, you just need to say the word and it will be done. How is your prayer life? Are you praying with confidence that Jesus has the power to change situations, to change lives? If you're struggling in that area, take another look. Take another look at Jesus this morning. So often we're spending time looking in on ourselves, looking at our own weaknesses, our own inadequacies, and we're not spending enough time remembering the words of Jesus, delighting in all that he has promised. It was the minister in Dundee, Robert Murray McChain, said these words, learn much about the Lord Jesus Christ. For every look at yourself, take 10 looks at Jesus Christ. Let your soul be filled with the excellency of Christ. And we can try and come up with lots of answers to the problems in life and the things that are confusing about the world. But the greatest need we have is for our whole being to be filled with how wonderful and powerful Jesus is. There's nothing greater. There's nothing greater. We want to understand ourselves better. The way to understand ourselves better is to understand God better, because we're made in the image of God. And if we understand God and we understand his Son through whom we come to know God, then we become complete and whole. If we want to live a better life, we won't live a better life simply by trying harder, but in partnership and deeper partnership with Jesus, his power will come through us. His wisdom will come through us. And as our faith in him grows, our fear will slip away. This is what the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans, right at the beginning of his amazing gospel. He says, regarding the good news, what is the good news? The good news is always about Jesus. The good news regarding his Son. God's good news regarding his Son, who as to his human nature was the descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. So I go back to the question, who is Jesus? It's not enough to stop with Jesus. His name is greater than Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth, the human being, he became like us. He was tested and tried in every way. He suffered, but he was without sin. He had to become like us, the human Jesus, the man Jesus. But he's more than the man Jesus. He's Jesus Christ. He's God's appointed king. He comes to turn an upside-down world the right way up again. He comes to put God's authority back on the earth. He's not just Jesus, he's Jesus Christ. He's not just Jesus Christ, he's Jesus Christ the Lord, because he died on the cross and he rose from the dead on the third day. He overcame sin in his death on the cross. He overcame death through his resurrection. And God exalted him to the throne of God and gave him the name which is above every other name. And he is the Lord. Is your faith in Jesus? Is your faith in Jesus Christ? Is your faith in Jesus Christ the Lord? Because if your faith is not in Jesus Christ the Lord, your faith is not real saving faith. Because it says in the scriptures that there is only one name by which we can be saved, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we may become a Christian because we want to have our problems solved, and God is able to solve our problems, but that's not saving faith. We may become a Christian because we do not want to be punished in hell for our sins. And if we become a Christian, we will escape that judgment. But that's not the reason we become Christians. We become Christians because we believe in Jesus Christ, Lord, who was raised from the dead and who has authority over our whole lives. And so when we become a Christian, we don't simply adopt him as our personal consumerist God who solves all our problems. No, we bow the knee because he is the Lord of all. And we ask that he would take us into his life. Yes, we want God's life into us, but we want to be drawn into his life, his everlasting life of love and joy and peace. You see, the bigger we see Jesus, the more majestic he is, and the more amazing our future is, because if he was just Jesus, the man, we'd still be dead in our sins. If he was Jesus Christ who died on a cross, he would be the crucified Messiah, which is no good because death hasn't been defeated. But he's Jesus Christ, the Lord, who overcame death itself. And therefore, whatever we face in this life, he is powerful to overcome it. So Jesus Christ, our Lord. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. And what have we done with what God has said? If we do not believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, we make God out to be a liar. Because God the Father says, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. He is the Savior. He is the Lord. He is your only hope." And if we do not agree with that, we're on the opposite side of truth. This series is helping us to root ourselves in Christ so that we are able to endure to the end. We're able to overcome whatever is thrown at us in this life. And the key to that is fixing our eyes on Jesus. He's able not only to grant us eternal life and forgiveness of sin, he's able to give us power today to fully equip us to be like him and to serve him. And I'm really, really, really looking forward to it because I'm learning so much, and I pray that you would walk with me through this book and have your soul filled with the excellency of Christ. But this morning, what is God expecting of us? He expects us to respond with faith. That's why we spent the whole summer looking at faith, because the most important thing we can do in response to this Jesus is to trust him, to turn away from our sins and to put our trust in him. And if you haven't done that, I encourage you to do that this morning. And you will find that everything will fall into place, and you will have not only an amazing God, but you will have a wonderful friend. There's a song that John Newton wrote. It says, "How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear." And my prayer for this series is that the name of Jesus, the wonderful name of Jesus, would be even more wonderful in your ears. And from that love, you will go on to do great things these coming weeks. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for what you have shared with us about your Son. We thank you that you've pointed us to what we really, really need to know. But Father, I pray that you would take us beyond head knowledge and you would give us a deep communion and fellowship with you. I pray this morning that all of us would grow in our understanding of who you are. I pray that we would be hungry to search the scriptures for ourselves and to find out more about you. But Lord, I pray that you would help us not only to have information, but transformation. And just like Martin Luther, that we would come to know this love letter from you, this love gift of your Son dying on the cross and raising from the dead. So we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your Son, and we pray that you'd help us to respond now in worship. In Jesus' name, amen.